For in Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Praise the Lord, brethren. Tonight is a very wonderful evening. And against all odds, against all hindrances, against all machinations of the devil, we are here. You know, I want us to understand that Satan can get a glimpse. He got a glimpse of what we're about to do tonight. And so he's been trying to do his best to derail us. But glory be to God, we are here this evening. Tonight, we want to look at an aspect of the experience of his rest that we do not really talk about and we do not understand much. We're going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 4. That scripture. Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 1 to 5. Please, if possible, you can please post that in a group for us so we can read from there. Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 1 to 5. Now, we must understand something. That this year has been declared the year of our rest. And indeed, it is an experience that we must have. You know, last week we said that the rest of God, okay, that we're talking about, is an experience of the kingdom of God that is in you. When we started this discussion last week, we made it point blank that the rest that we've been talking about is simply an experience of the kingdom that is in you. So if you can operate the kingdom of God that is in you by his righteousness, then you will indeed rest. However, is in you requires an essential element. Hallelujah. I'm still waiting for that scripture. Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 1 to 5. The kingdom of God that is in you has an essential element that is required for it, okay, to operate. I want you to understand that. Now, without this essential element, this kingdom can't work. 4 verse 1, it says, God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. So you see, so there is a possibility of failing to experience the rest that is in Christ. We must understand this. There's a possibility. So it is so that we do not fail to experience it, and that is why we're talking about it. It says, for this good news that God has prepared his rest has been announced to us, just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. Now, verse 3. It says, for only we who believe can enter in his rest. Can enter his rest. The King James Version says, for we which believed have entered into rest. So, if you look at that statement, we which believe can enter into rest, it shows that the only way to enter into that rest is by believing. Hallelujah. The only way to enter into that rest we're talking about is by believing. So what this means is that if you don't believe, hallelujah, we will become unable to enter into the rest. In fact, the Bible talks about some set of people that missed out on the rest because of unbelief. See that scripture, Hebrews chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm looking at it now. Good. It says, for he that is ceased from his own works, that's verse 10. But I'm looking for the particular part that says that I'm looking at the particular part that says that they couldn't enter because of unbelief. It says, for to us was the gospel preached, yes, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as to them. He said, but the word preached to them did not profit them, not being mixed in faith that had it. I want to get it now. So, that it says, since therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. So, It is important for us to understand that the entrance to enter into that rest is unbelief. Verse 11. Yes, that's the scripture I'm looking for. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. It says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So it means that what caused them to fall was unbelief. Hallelujah. What caused the people then to fall was unbelief. So we now need to now sit down and ask ourselves, what exactly is unbelief? Hallelujah. What exactly is unbelief? The Yoruba word is I need Igbagbo. Kini tumo e? Or I Igbagbo. What exactly does unbelief mean? Now look at this. So we must understand that unbelief would be the opposite of belief. Abi? So if we can't understand what belief is, we can't understand what unbelief is. Now when the Bible says we which have believed, believe what? That's the question we should ask. Because this Bible says we which have believed have entered into rest. So we need to now ask ourselves that what do we need to believe? So if you want to understand what we are to believe, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2 is very clear. It says, for this good news that God prepared his rest has been announced to us. So we must believe this good news. If we can believe this good news, I was going to now, we will enter into this rest. Now, what this means is that we must have faith. Because faith is what happens, is the product of believing God's word. Now, this is the process of believing God's word. It says, we hear God's and we believe in our spirit. Because the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And now, if you don't forget, I was saying earlier that the essential element for the righteous is that they must live by faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, the just must live by faith. The just, okay, Romans chapter 1 verse 17b, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, the just shall live by his faith. So, if the just is to live by faith, what it means is that if the just can live by faith, then the just would be able to enter into the rest. Because the only hindrance, here is this evening, the only hindrance to entering into the rest prepared for you by God, are we together now, is unbelief or a lack of faith. And this is why Hebrews chapter 4 verse 11 says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. So unbelief is a standard, listen to this evening. Now, unbelief is a standard default setting for the average person. To have faith requires labor. Hallelujah. To have faith, or say to build faith, requires labor. Don't bother. The standard default settings of a person, whether righteous or unrighteous, is unbelief. If a man is going to have faith, there is some labor required. And what is that labor? Hebrews 4:11. Let us do our best to enter that rest, but if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fail. Now, verse 12 now says, for the word of God is quick. Now, look at it now. It says, let us labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And then he was to say, it's for the word of God. So it means that the labor you must labor is with the word. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God. So your labor is in the word. Hallelujah. Your labor is in the word. So every time you do not have God's word in your hand, we can categorically conclude that you are living in unbelief. So the reason many people are unable to enter into the rest is because though they trust God, though they are prayed, they don't have God's word that they are holding on to at every point in time. Are we together now? That situation of not having God's word that you are holding on to is what is called unbelief. Are we together now? Because you can't believe what you have not heard. You can't believe the gospel that you have not heard. The good news you did not hear, you can't believe it. Are we together now? Now, after believing, after hearing, then there is the labor to get the word into your spirit. Because when we say believing now, having faith, believing is of the spirit, not of the mind. So you can be aware of the rest of God and still not have faith concerning it. And as long as you don't have faith concerning it, you are still not going to enter. There is a difference between awareness and experience. The difference between awareness and experience is faith. Are we together now? So if there is awareness but there is no experience, you must understand that what is there is unbelief. Let me repeat so that we can understand. There is a small line. I mean, there is a small line between the awareness and the experience. Many of us are aware that we are sons of God. Many of us know that we have the life of God in us. Many of us are aware of the promises of God for us. But we do not have the experience. It is the difference between the awareness and the experience is faith. And when a man does not have faith, I would go now, we call it unbelief. So there are two great problems for every believer now that may hinder you from entering into rest. Two major problems. Two major problems. The first problem is the issue of ignorance. Hallelujah. The second problem is the issue of unbelief. Are we together now? Ignorance. We have dealt with ignorance a lot last year. And so we're starting with unbelief this year. Unbelief. So I've shown us just one dimension of unbelief. So every time you don't have God's word with you, you are living in unbelief. Every time you don't have God's word that you can hold on to regarding that situation, regarding that sickness, regarding that unpaid bills, regarding your business, regarding the expansion of your work. Are we together now? Regarding the peace you want to experience in your home. Are we together now? Regarding the kind of experience you want to build that you are trusting God for. Every time you don't have God's word for it, there is no, how do you put it now? You don't have faith. Let me show you something. The truth is that every child of God must have God's word, not because we have problems, but because we are expecting expansions. The reason there are not so many great children of God today is because many are battling with problems that should not be with prayers. We are taking our attention away from all that we are in Christ. I want to get it now. And we are too focused on the immediate problems we have. It's a tactic of the devil. So if you can get the people to focus on the immediate problem that they have, they will never be able to come to the fullness of God. And as long as they do not come to the fullness of God, their impact is limited. So I am telling you, you are not a wielder of God's word. You are not a holder of God's word just because you want to solve your problems. No, but because the glory of God must be revealed in you by the number of solutions you bring unto men. So I need you to continue to now start seeing your problems as a tactic of the devil to distract you. The truth is this. Many of the things that we are pursuing every day is the reason many people have not become great or will not become great. So in everything you must do this year, fight unbelief with everything you have. That is with the word of God. Find time. Sit down. Study. It is so important, I can't overemphasize it. So very important. Find time. Sit down. Study. Now, every time you know God's word, but you think it is not practical, that's unbelief. Now, the truth is that unbelief and fear work together. Hallelujah. When a man lives in unbelief, he lives in fear. So, you can talk. This is the truth. Now, every time you are talking as a believer, every time, I'm being honest now, practically every time, every time a believer is talking, two things are likely going to be manifesting. Two things are likely going to be manifesting. The first one is unbelief. The second one is faith. So I like to tell people this, that if you can't talk faith, keep quiet. If you can't speak faith, keep quiet. For you as a believer, just shut up. Because what's going to happen is that if you can't speak faith, what you're going to speak is unbelief. And once you continually speak unbelief, your spirit continually hears what is contrary to God's word, you remain in that position. So if you're going to be experiencing the rest of God, hallelujah, it requires a lot of intentionality. You need to be intentional about the things you want to achieve. You need to be intentional about the vision that God has placed in your hands. You need to be intentional about where you are going with it. You need to be intentional about the people you have been sent to serve. Because greatness is about serving men and bringing men to the fullness of God. Now, if you are familiar about these things and you keep, listen to this, and you are intentional about where you are going, and you will know how to leverage on the systems of God to get to where you are going. The truth is that you can attain the fullness of God. That's the truth. But for you to do this, hallelujah, you need to live by faith. Now, here it is again. Every time you are being led by your senses, or you are looking to your feelings, to your expertise regarding a decision, you are working in unbelief, especially when it's against God's word. Let me tell us a small story. So there was a time in Israel that, I think it was in Syria, that besieged Israel. They besieged Samaria for a long time. And it got to a level that Samaria was in dire famine, and it got to a point that people had begun to kill their children to eat. Now, the king was very wroth and very angry, and then he called on to the prophet. You know, and when the prophet came, the prophet told the king that by this time tomorrow, now look at it, this was a city that was on the verge of breaking. People were literally cooking their children to eat. And the prophet told the king that thus saith the word of God, that by this time tomorrow, thus saith the Lord, by this time tomorrow, there is going to be abundance of food, such that they will be sold cheaply. The economist of that country, that was, you know, it was an advisor of the king. Bible calls him one whom the king leaned on. So he's someone that the king was resting on to make policies. Is an advisor. The advisor, I like to call him an economist, looked at the prophet and said, come on, even if God were to open the windows of heaven, this would not be possible. Now, the prophet was not doing too much. I mean, sorry, the economist wasn't doing too much. He looked at this from the human standpoint and said, even if God were to open the heavens in Samaria and pour down food, it still wouldn't happen. Now, it's not like he cannot think about the number of food that will come down from heaven. He just couldn't think that God could, open the windows of heaven. He said, this is not possible. And the prophet told him that, you know what? You are going to see this thing with your eyes, but you are not going to eat out of it. Lo and behold, the next day, they had abundance in that city. The next day, they had abundance in that city. They had abundance. You want to know how God did it? Go and read the Bible. What I need you to understand is this. Is that there is nothing too hard for God to do. So what this means is that there can be some things that are hard. Listen. What the Bible said is that there is nothing too hard for God to do. So does that mean there are things that are hard? Yes. When I say hard now, it is not hard because it is hard for God. It is hard because God cannot get you to comply with him. So even if God wanted to do it, are we together now? You are the one not allowing God to do it. That's why the Bible used the word, is there something to act? Naturally, all things are the disposal of God to do. But when it comes to your personal life, it needs your collaboration to get many things done. Now, if you can't have faith in him, it can't happen. So regardless of everything you find yourself in this year, no matter how tough things are, try everything possible. I beg of you, try everything possible to stop being natural. Do everything humanly possible to stop being natural. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 11. Quickly. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 11. It now says, okay, let's start from verse 9. It says, well, what is written? What is written? Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have it entered into the heart of men, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Pay attention to the scripture. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the spirit of men, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, why is it so? Job chapter 42 and verse 5. Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. This is Job speaking here. After God turned his captivity, he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. So what this means is that the hearing of the ear precedes the seeing of the eye. And as long as the hearing of the ear does not happen, the seeing of the eye cannot happen. Neither can it enter into the spirit of the man. And as long as these three does not happen, hallelujah, it cannot experience. That man is living in unbelief automatically. I want to get it now. You see that this scripture, for some time I used to think it's a scripture we should be confessing. The eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of men, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. I would get it now. But the truth is that God is saying, those that love him, the reason they have not experienced the things that he has prepared for them is because their eye has not seen it. Neither has it entered into their spirits. Hallelujah. And this is why the word of God says, in that Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, that the word of God is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. The word of God. Somebody say the word. Tally it together. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it is when you hear what God has prepared for you. I want to get it now. When you hear the good news of his rest and you continually hear it, so you're going to be the one to speak it to yourself continually, because it is a hearing, not heard. It is a hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, a continuous process. So you're going to be the one to continually tell yourself about it. If you're going to get rid of unbelief, you are going to be telling yourself continually about the rest of God until your eye begins to see that rest. Now, when your eye will see it, now when we say eye, we mean your spiritual eye first. So when we say the eye seeing that word, it must have entered into your spirit, because your eye cannot see it unless it enters into your spirit. That word that you are confessing is powerful. That word that you're confessing is sharper than any two. Yes. I was reading the book of Revelation today, and I came across a scripture I saw in the vision of Apostle John. I mean, the revelation of Apostle John. He wrote about the appearance of Christ, and there was a sword out of his mouth. It was sharp and two-edged. It went forth out of his mouth. Instantly, the Holy Spirit told me, you remember how the Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, what you see in that mouth is the word of God. So the word of God in your mouth, he learned this evening. The word of God in your mouth is a two-edged sword. So when the Bible says the sword of the Spirit, it's not like you are holding it in your hands. The sword of the Spirit proceeds from your mouth. You must understand this. It says, God has revealed these things to us by His Spirit. Eh? Verse 11. It says, what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but with the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13. It says, which things also we speak, not in the world. See, look at this. Which things also we speak. He said, we receive the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And the next process there is that we speak these things. The next process, after we have known the things that are freely given to us of God, is that we speak. I am telling you that the difference between awareness and experience is faith. We speak. Hold on to that scripture. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. It says that the same gospel that was preached to us, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. It says, for this good news that God has prepared his rest has been announced to us, just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. The word says, because they couldn't mix faith with the word. The reason it did them no good is because they couldn't mix faith with the word. They couldn't mix it. They couldn't mix it. So they didn't know how to mix the word with faith. And how do you mix the word with faith? You speak God's word. Until faith arises in you. And after faith arises, you still continually speaking it. Then it happens. You combine faith with the word of God when you confess the word. When your confessions become the word of God. That was what Joshua and Caleb did. Their confessions, their perceptions became the word of God. The same way here that he said, the Bible says that we speak these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. I mean 12 rather. It says, we receive the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13 now says, the things also we speak, not in the words which the wisdom of man teaches. So every time we are speaking in the word, which the wisdom of man speaking. What we are doing is that we are speaking on every time you are speaking the wisdom of men. You know, many times the wisdom of men is misguided. You say, let us speak from a place of wisdom. Let us apply wisdom. Come on. I want to ask you, which wisdom are you applying? Is it the wisdom of men or the wisdom of God? Because we must make no mistake. The wisdom of God is not the wisdom of men. The wisdom of God is the foolishness of men. The wisdom of God to men is foolishness. So by any means, if you are obeying God, do not be, I mean, if you are obeying God, if you are speaking faith, don't be surprised that some men will look at you as someone that is derailed, that someone that is mentally ill. Don't be surprised that some people will look at you and say you are very foolish. Because the wisdom of God is foolishness to men. In fact, the Bible says that the natural man, that's the scripture we're reading next, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man receives not the things of the spirit. The natural man is incapable of receiving of the spirit of God. He says, for they are foolishness to him. You see that wisdom of the world that we're trying to live by? That laws of the world that we're trying to adhere to, they are the enforcers of unbelief in our life. In our lives, rather. And they are the reason we have not been able to experience God. If you are going to experience his rest, you are going to get out of unbelief. If you are going to have to experience his rest, you are going to labor in the world. You are going to have to build the world into your spirit until it becomes the way you see the world. Hallelujah. This is very important. I can't overemphasize it. You are going to have to build the word of God into your spirit. You are going to have to build the word of God into your spirit. Because the only hindrance standing between you and the experience of all that God has promised, hallelujah, is the lack of faith. So I want you to sit down now and examine yourself. What are you talking about? What are the confessions of your mouth? Are they faith or fear? Are they faith or unbelief? Are they faith or, you know, lack of understanding? Because you must understand that the believer in Christ is in a position of rest, and the kingdom of God that is in you can only be operated, I repeat, can only be operated by faith. Maybe we should align these things. Arrange them one by one. That the kingdom of God that you have received at conversion, the experience of that kingdom is the rest we're talking about. How to get everything to be added to you is what we're talking about. How to reign in life through the abundance of grace is what we're talking about. How to live like kings and queens on the earth is what we're talking about. How to be relevant through generations is what we're talking about. And all of these things can be gotten and experienced through the kingdom of God that is in you. That is the refreshing. That is the rest. I will together now. It is not in your labor of praying, I'm being honest now. It is not in your labor of fasting. It is not in your labor of seclusion, I'm being honest with you. It is in your labor in the world. Because without God's word, you can't operate God's kingdom. Let me repeat again. Without God's word, you can't operate God's kingdom. Without God's word, you can't operate God's kingdom. And so God's word is not something you are going to say only when you need it. No. It won't work that way because you can't have faith that way. And that's one of the mistakes we're making. So we wait until we are in trouble before we now speak God's word. It won't work that way because we can't have faith that way. Hallelujah. The only way to get God's word for us, God's word, to work for us, in times of need, let me put it that way, in times of our plans for expansion, in times of all our needs, I will together now. The only way it can work for us is if it had become a part of us initially. The truth is that the word of God that gave back to you does not fail. So the word can't fail. I am telling you this evening, the word of God can't fail. You can't fail. So when you combine the word of God and yourself perfectly, and there is a synergy between you and God's word, that is a recipe for greatness on the earth. So now ask yourself, are you willing to pay the price to enter into the rest? Because the truth is that there is a price to pay. There is a price to pay. And what is that price? Get rid of unbelief. We're going to be stopping here tonight, even as we're praying this evening and asking for help. That Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to get rid of unbelief. We know that you have sent your word to us. Now help us to live according to thy word. In the name of Jesus. Can we begin to pray this evening? In the name of Jesus. Father, we ask for